Okay, are we ready to study the Bible this morning? Are we ready to focus on it, concentrate? Are we ready? We've got the Gibbs family over here, right there, that great family. Amazing, great family. James and Dana from Tennessee. Wow, they're here. Pastor Chris Moore and Gosha and Caleb from Texas. They drove up with the F-150 Ford truck and a whole house on the back end of it, drove up and have been with us for the week. When do you go back?
Right after church.
Pastor Rhonda Lewis and Michelle from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a popular town around here in Baltimore. Huh? Yeah, there's some Raven fans in this room right now, aren't there? Okay, so we're having a good time. We had a great week. Bob and Rachel, also from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, they're here too. Yay, Pittsburgh. Yeah, so okay, ready to go? Isaiah, let's move around a little bit in the beginning. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we have been having profound truths imparted to our spirit by God's grace through the week. And I mean literally, we had extremely rich times that stick in your mind and heart. One I heard from Pastor Bruce Moon from Mexico, and Robin are here. They've 33 years or 34 years they've lived in Mexico, and they're just learning Spanish. No, you've already learned Spanish, I'm joking. I mean, to be a missionary in Mexico City for 34 years is, well, that's just, you know, touching, very touching. Jesus talked about hearing him and obeying Jesus. This is Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, do you think it's important to hear the sayings of Jesus? Is that important? We had a message the other morning about subjective and objective, and that's very important, how I hear, because I can hear subjectively. I have an inferiority complex, and when I hear you talk to me, I feel you're putting me down, because I hear your words through my inferiority. My starting point is me. As I listen to you, what you say goes through me. Or my dad was always yelling at me when I go to the church and I hear the Bible. I feel that God is yelling at me because I'm subjective. I'm hearing you through me, my life, my experience. You might say, yeah, Pastor, but that's normal. Yes, it is. But that's why I'm saying it. You have to get beyond that. You have to start to hear not you. You have to start to hear God. You have to start to hear what God is saying. You might say, I got an addiction with alcohol. I will never get over it. Whenever I hear a preacher, I just know whatever he says is going through me, and I know nothing will change. That's subjective hearing. And you have to get adjusted to being spirit-filled and humble and say, it's got to be the way God says. Here's another example. God showed Ezekiel a valley of bones, And he said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, if you were studying at Johns Hopkins as a scientist, you would say, no, those bones can't live. And my answer to God would be, no, they cannot live. Because I know enough about dry bones that they are dead and it's over and they will not live. But Ezekiel didn't say that. What did Ezekiel say? O Lord God, thou knowest if these bones live or not. O God, thou knowest. Do you hear what we're saying? You see, we limit the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78:19, by our spirit and unbelief, by our personal life. We limit by science. Of course, bones can't live, and you can't walk on water, and water cannot come out of a rock. But wait a minute. There has to be more to life than me. My life, my pain, my wounds, my fears, more than science, the laws of gravity, and medical science, and so on. There has to be more. Why do we say that? Because Jesus said, he that hears, look at the verse again, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, he is talking. And there is a hearing that is different from another hearing. You know, I hear. How many times have you been in a class at school and it sounds just like, you know, and you're falling asleep and you're hearing. What are you hearing? Not much. I just hear somebody's talking behind the wall, and that's all that I can hear. That is how people hear God, by the way, in this universe. They just hear some behind the wall. And what I mean is they believe he's there, but they can't really hear him. But here is the good news for us. When we believed in Jesus Christ, we were born of the Spirit, born again, and he gave us ears. Circumcised ears and heart, circumcised heart. And now we are able to worship. Because hearing is a kind of worship. How many of you have teenagers at home or children at home? Or, you know, how many of us have talked with somebody, but as they listen to mom or dad, they may have an attitude? You know, we really need the lawn to be mowed. Hint, hint. You know, we really need to clean up the house. You know, hint, hint. But their attitude is, you know, they're in a different place. And so, in a way, people are like this too with God. But when we come to God with this respectful attitude of worship, when we put our hearts before him, and we are now able to do this because we have new hearts and we're able to love. Now we are hearing. Example, David was with his mighty men and he's out in the battlefield and he's thirsty and he remembers, he goes, it's kind of like it happens, you know, when you're, let's say, you know, you're just on a baseball field or you're somewhere doing something else and you just say out, you know, to, oh, wow, it'd be great to have a burger. Or, man, after this, I'm going to go get a Gatorade. That was like David saying, I'd like some cold water from the well of Bethlehem. That's all he said. There were three guys that heard him. They not only heard what he said, but in their hearts, they wanted to do it for him. It wasn't hard. It wasn't like talking to a teenager about mowing the lawn. It was something else. That's happened to you. You want to be at the church. You want to hear what God is saying. You want to explore your Bible. You want to live by faith. You want to hear what God is saying. And Jesus says it this way, verse 30 or 24. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, there's the big part of it. That's the kicker right there. He hears these sayings of mine and he doeth them. Like, how could that happen? There is a parable by Christ in Matthew, and it's one I say often on the street to people, or I've got a group. I've done it many places. I've done it in Sweden, Azerbaijan. I've done it in Russia. I see a bunch of young people, and I say, can I tell you a story? I'm an American. Can I tell you a story? They go, oh, yeah, where are you from? New York. Oh, New York. That's, wow, we know where New York is. Okay, so I said, I just tell you a short story. Do you want me to? Yeah. No, I asked them. You don't have a choice. Okay, I asked them, do you want me to tell you this? The certain man had two sons. And he said to the one son, will you work in my garden? And the son said, no, I won't. And then later he did. He said to the other son, will you work in my garden? And he said, yes, yes, papa, yes, papa, of course, yes. And he didn't do it. So which one, teenager, which one did the will of the Father? The one that said no. So the one that said no did it. Why? Why did the person that said no end up doing the Father's will? Because he had a change of heart. Something happened. His heart changed. Why did Jesus tell this parable? Because he's talking to Jewish religious people. And they said, yes, yes, but couldn't do it. And then Gentiles don't have a clue. And they say no, and they do it because of the new birth. The new birth has given us this obedience, this willingness, this desire. I want to do it. You might say, Pastor, I don't know. I got areas in my life. I just can't. I don't know. But I understand. That's why you're here. Because we're all basically the same. There isn't any difference, really. It's either you said, yes, I will do my I will work in the vineyard. Yes, I will, but I don't do it. Or it's the other one. No, I will not. No, I will not, and I don't. But the third possibility is that that man who said no had a change. He was born of God. He believed in Jesus. Now he has a willingness and an ability, a desire to hear and do. This is a change of mentality, a change of heart. This is a change that is the most greatest miracle in the universe. God only has two people to work with. The ones that said yes and don't do it. The ones that say no and they don't do it. Where could I find somebody who would do it? The man that said no, is the one that finds grace. He says, I can't, I won't, and he finds Christ. Christ changes his heart, and now he delights in the will of God. It says that about Jesus. I delight to do thy will, O God, in Hebrews 1 and verse 8. And it's happened to you. It'll grow in you. You will learn it, and it's an amazing foundation for your life. It's a whole mindset where it grows and it lives. It's kind of like a living thing that is moving. Have you ever been in the airport and stood on one of those horizontal, you know, sidewalks that are moving? It's kind of like that, that I accept Jesus and then, I'm just kind of moving. And it's like, it's something beyond you. It's the filling of the Spirit. It's the wisdom that stimulates you in more wisdom. Have you ever talked with somebody that they're like so, they're just refreshing, and it moves and lives and grows. So read the verse, please. It's verse 24. It says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. On a rock. So we can make a diagram for our focus here. We have the rock, and we can just make a foundation here, something like this, for a house to go on, or a rock. In the ancient world, a cornerstone rock was a large squared rock, and everything was built off square off of that. Pastor Bob Colban gave that illustration, which Pastor Lange referred to the other day, that Pastor Colban in the construction business, home repairs and so on, was invited to a house. They said, our windows are not square, and our doors swing open. And when he got there, he looked around, like all the windows and doors were, you know, it would be hard. They just wanted the windows fixed and the doors fixed. And Pastor Colban put a ball, rolled the ball down the floor, and the ball just, you know, made its way. It was not level. So he went down in the cellar, and he saw that the foundation was deteriorated. And he said, you know, we could maybe work on your doors and windows, but you have a deeper problem. And if we solve the deeper problem, maybe all these other things will go square. So they lifted, they agreed, they lifted the house, they squared off the foundation, dropped the house. Every window worked, every door was square, the whole thing straightened out. That's like your life. Yeah. You think you got a marriage problem? You do, but you also got a deeper problem. Huh? Maybe that wasn't the best illustration right there. You think you got a health problem? You do, but you got a deeper problem. And so on. So this is good news. If you can hear me and do what I say, your life will get squared up. Things will change. Well, I need it done right now. How long will it take? I don't know. But I've seen people. One brother told me, he was from Ecuador, Pastor Hadley, the gentleman that started our meeting off here. He was a missionary in Ecuador, and that man that told me this, he lives now in Texas, and he's with Pastor Chris, and he told me, I just heard Pastor Hadley. I knew he was from God. I just started to obey. I just kept at it. I never had a real big salvation experience. I never really felt it, so to speak, but I just heard him, and I just kept following, and I was believing Jesus, and my life changed. Yeah, and I said, "Well, how long did it take?" He said, "I don't really know, but I just believe. I'm walking by faith in what God is saying, and I'm honoring it in my heart. I'm hearing it, and I am obeying it, and it's happened, and it continues. And I am so glad that I found this. I am glad I found Jesus." So I was a guy that said no, but now actually I'm doing my Father's will by the grace of God, the grace of God. This is the gift of God, the ministry of God. So how are people living today? They're building on sand. So let's make a short list of what goes on with the sand. Well, we know that it's going to wash away, it's going to change, it's going to shift, the wind, the water, the storm, and so on. So what is it? How about if I just start it right off with me? I build on me. I'm a pretty smart guy, you know. I got some diplomas at home. I got some nice personality. I got some determination and hard work. I got a good upbringing. I'm not talking about myself. I think I misled you. I mean, I'm talking about a guy. A guy can say these things. I got my family, my background, my education, my security, my talent, my all of this that I got, I'm building. I'm able to build a life, a business, a family. I'm able to love people, my neighbors. I'm good. I'm able to be a good guy. That's fine. But this isn't about normal. This is about a storm. This is about what happens in a storm. We're not talking about when everything's normal and your paycheck hits your bank at the right time and everything's firing on all cylinders. We're talking about trouble. Let's go to the verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not. And how many are there like that? I'm telling you, everybody's like that. Listen to this. You go to a church in America today, just like this one, or anywhere in America, you got people saying, "Yes, I will. Yes, I will do it. Yes, I will do it," and they don't. And then there are people that say, "No, I don't ever go to the church. I don't know anything about that. I'm not interested in that. It doesn't mean anything. I've heard the sayings of Jesus before. Yeah, I can take and pick and choose." But then Jesus is saying, "No. I'm telling you, when you build on me, no matter what happens, no matter how the storm goes, who is it? Knock at the door. Who is it?" He's like, "I don't know what to say right now. Wait a minute. Who is it?" It's death. Death. The grim reaper is knocking on the door. "Go away. I'm not ready for you. It's too late. It's your time. I've been waiting for you. I am prepared. I've been living, hearing Jesus, and doing what he has said. I built my life on a rock, and the gates of hell cannot be stronger than his empty tomb. The tomb is empty. The promises are pure, are sure, and precious. The Spirit has been speaking to my heart through years, through years. Remember that brother I met up at Havre de Grace, soul winning? He said his wife died 15 years ago. And he said before she died, he said to her, he whispered to her, "I'm going to see you in heaven. I'll meet you at the South Gate. I'll meet you at the South Gate." And I said to him, "Did you tell her to be on the right or the left side of the gate?" What does it mean? It means that that guy, he had an assurance. And he's living the rest of his days here on the earth, but he has a living hope. What does it mean when you build your life on a rock? It means no matter what the storm, what happens, there's something precious. Now, I want to say something else about it. I was reading about gems and how they test their quality. And one of them is a water test. When you take a gem, let's say a diamond, and you have diamonds, but it's very simple. If you put it in the water, it'll sparkle. Like there can be like a diamond or a fake diamond or an artificial stone, and it doesn't have the same properties in water. You know, the tests that we're talking about are not human. They are tests of our hearts. And God is the one in 1 Thessalonians 2:4 who tries the hearts of men. Proverbs 17, verse 2, the furnace is for gold and the crucible for silver, but God tests the hearts of men. Testing our hearts. What is in them? Well, I believe when we obey Jesus, it kind of enfolds back on itself the joy and the peace. We were out evangelizing on Saturday. We drove to a town, Sykesville, by faith. We just went there, a van load of us, just to go down Main Street and talk to people about Jesus and listen to them and pray and be there. And we meet people like we call that divine appointments, like Zacchaeus in the tree in the gospel was a divine appointment. The woman at the well in John 4 was a divine appointment. And we met some that morning, Saturday morning. And when we got back in the van, we have this Holy Spirit witness. When you do his will, when you hear his word and you do his will, you kind of feel this is right. This is right. God is with us. This is right. When I left this morning, my home, earlier this morning, I just could have just gone out the door. My wife is in bed still, and I just thought, no, I feel I need to go to her and just see if she's awake and then have prayer for the day. And when I just was with her and we had our prayer, I just feel like this is right. This is right. This is, God is in this. God is in this. You see, whenever you hear what Jesus is saying and you end up doing it, it feeds itself. The Lord is saying to you, this is the way. Walk in it. This is my will. But I'm sorry for the people that build on the sand. Let's put down here a couple things. Me, college education. If I have a college education, I got it made. It's going to make it. How about getting married? You know, there are people that have that idea. I marry the right person, I get married, it's going to be, you know, that's my life, that's my goal, a house, money. My reputation is very important to me. I've got to have a good, if I have the right reputation then. And by the way, you might say, this is superficial. I'm saying, no, it isn't. Psychologists who have counseled people for 30 years and made a list. And I have them in my office. I didn't bring it for this, but they're like, if I have or if I do, there's like two categories. Like if I have, you know, let's say money, if I am good looking, if I have a good, if people will respect me. Imagine that one. If people will respect me, then my house will be standing. It will be standing, but on sand. Because the day is only a matter of time when your marriage is not good. Your reputation plummets. Your finances are troubled. Your health is hurting, and so on. We know this. So it's called in Isaiah 28. I'm going to close with that. Please turn there to Isaiah 28. In verse 15, because you have said we made a covenant with death and with hell. Can you imagine making a covenant with hell? Has anyone ever heard of anybody making deliberately a covenant with hell? Yes. I've heard it this way. I sold my soul to the devil. I made an agreement. I believe Mick Jagger said it in one of the Rolling Stone magazines, that he made an agreement with the devil, that the devil would make him popular or famous or rich. Does the devil have that authority? He does. He offered it to Jesus, and Jesus did not say, you are a liar, you have no authority to give me anything. But he met him on other terms, quoting the Bible and saying, it is written, thou shalt not worship any other god. No false gods, no other god. Everything he said, by the way, when he answered, was from the book of Deuteronomy. He knew the Bible. Jesus knows the Bible, and he deals with the devil based on the Bible. But if you make a covenant with hell or a covenant with death, then you're building on a foundation that is destructive and will destroy you. It's written here. Read it with me. It says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. This could be a military invasion. It could be COVID-19. It could be any number of things. It will not come unto us. This is what they say. For we have made lies our refuge. What does that mean? People live in lies. Let me write it over here. Lies are our comfort. Lies are our refuge. Lies are how we live. Lie to me. Just lie to me. Don't tell me the truth. Just lie to me. I'll feel better. Tell me how great I am. Tell me the lie. Tell me, lie to me. I will feel better. I don't want to know the truth. That's how people live. Wow. Is that profound? That's amazing. Lie to me. Lie to me. Have we seen many lies today around the world? Have we seen and heard them? It's ridiculous. Okay, live in your lie. What does it say will happen? Look at it with me, please. It goes, under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I've been in different parts of the world, and I'm like, felt it. I've felt it. I've been in communist countries. I've been in other places with different religions. I've felt it. I've felt the lies. I've felt the lies. It's amazing. Lies. Lies. We make the lies our refuge. It's a tragedy. And come on. The truth is a great gift to us. Are we perfect? No. Do we know everything? No. I'm not saying that. But Jesus told us we have the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit will guide us in truth. And though we may be far off sometimes, but we got a much greater shot at it through Jesus Christ. He's the answer. And a humble heart, he will not ashamed. He that believeth will not be ashamed. You means you won't be like shocked that I never knew or I didn't know or I can't believe that. Like somebody in a tsunami or something. They had no idea. The whole thing, they had no idea what the lie was. They had no idea the destructive force of it. They had no idea. They lie down in sorrow in Isaiah chapter 50. I can't say it strong enough, and I don't want to. I'm just getting the point to you, I'm a bit angry about it. It's ridiculous. Okay, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone. What kind of stone? The most incredible one. The one you know is true. The most awesome one. What kind of stone? Tested and tried. Absolutely true. I give you this stone. I give it to you. You build your life on him. The most incredible gift to us is the truth. You'll not be ashamed. You grow in your confidence. You grow in courage and faith. Come on. Listen, we're living in the United States of America, and I don't have total confidence in our government. I don't have confidence when somebody in our government is saying that when you have a little boy and he says he's a little girl and everybody and people get behind him in the lie. That's a lie. The Hungarian government, I just heard, passed a law in the parliament that in Hungary the law is your identity is defined by your biology, by your genetics. Duh. That's a law. Now watch what the EU says about it. Watch what the EU says about it. They don't like that. Yeah, but the Hungarians have enough sense to say that's the way it is, period. And you're an idiot. You're living in a lie if you believe anything else. Your identity is not defined by your psychology. Your identity is defined by your biology and your genetics. Obviously, hundreds, thousands of years we've been saying that. But we're smarter than our forefathers. We're smarter than them. No, we're greater liars than they are. They were liars too. But we are greater liars. We are greater liars than our forefathers. No, but we have our iPhones. It's like, you got an iPhone and you're an idiot. That's all that means. You got an iPhone and you're an idiot. Straight up fool. Believing in a lie and building and taking refuge in lies and building on sand. And when the trial comes, you won't have a clue. You think you're confused now. Wait until it hits the fan. You're going to be more confused than ever. It's crazy. I want to close. This is a long, long message. But it's just so logically laid out here. Let's just go a couple more verses. It goes like this. I lay in Zion a tried stone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Like you will be at rest. He that believes shall not be frustrated, hurried, worried, afraid, anxious, but he that believes will be solid, solid, believing on him, and the Spirit is going to be ministering to you. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Don't we love the plummet line? The plummet line means the gravity is not lying. The vertical line is from this point to the ground. It's a plummet line. It's true. You don't like it? Everybody is saying, you know, we're like leaning, like, oh, we're straight. Oh, yeah, we got it down. We know more than every, you know, we've been advanced. We're advanced. We have an iPhone. You know. It's like, could anybody get a plummet line and put it to that guy and tell him he's a liar and he's living in a lie and tell us the truth? Could the Church of Jesus Christ be saying the truth by the Spirit of God here and everywhere in the world? Amen, Lord, yes. You have sent us into the world to be salt and light and not believe a lie, but stand up and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Oh, what? What? You don't believe that? It's like, yeah. Hello? Get your head out of the sand. I don't believe it, and you don't believe it. You're a liar, like I'm a liar, but you're a bigger liar than I am. You know, that kind of talk. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Okay, you digest it. We got to finish it. It says here, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, if you flood the ground, the animals in the holes, they better get out or they'll drown. That you flood the ground and the animals that can't survive in underwater, they got to get out, they got to get air. I will force you out of your holes, your lies, where you have refuge. And reality will knock on your door. And it may be it just says reality is showing up. And you better get out of your lie. You better get out of your hole, because the water, the flood is coming, and it's going to find you. And if you can't make it, yeah, you can't make it. You better get out of the lie. You better come to Jesus. You better come to Noah's Ark. If you don't get on Noah's Ark, you're going to be history. It's over. You better come to Christ. And by the way, if you come to Christ, the best thing you could do is hear what he says and do it. That's the way to live. And it will build up in your soul, rooms in your soul. Confidence will grow. You'll be changed from glory to glory. You will. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And you show up. It's a time to go back to church. It's a time to have fellowship with the sisters and brothers. What about COVID-19? Is it 19? It's been so long since. What? 9 or 19 or something. Okay, you better. What about that? I don't know, but I got 99.9% chance I'm not going to die from it. Is that correct? It is. 99.9% chance I'm not going to die from COVID-19. Okay, now wait a minute. I'm still going to die, but I want to say something more about it. I'm going to get in my car and drive home later today. What are the chances of me getting in a car accident? Maybe 99.99999, whatever it is. But you know what? I'm still going to get in my car and drive home. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to swim in the ocean, but there's sharks in the ocean. Yeah, but the possibilities are, you know, let's just go swimming. Okay, let's go. You know. I'm going to get some candy out of the vending machine. Do you know that there's a possibility the vending machine will fall on top of you and crush you and you will internally bleed to death? Wait a minute. Let me back up. Pastor Schuyler, don't you know this is serious? I do. And I've heard, and any medical person can tell you, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible death in a way. I don't want that, and I don't want that for anybody. But I'm talking about reality, folks. There's tuberculosis and cancer and car accidents and gunshot wounds. By the way, you have a higher possibility of getting shot in New York City than dying of COVID-19. Statistically, that's on the books. I get shot in New York. That's why I don't go there. Not because of COVID-19, because I get shot in New York. That's why I don't go there. Hey, wait a minute. Let's finish the message, because I'm going off here. I'm telling you, have we noticed anything about this world we live in? Have you noticed how important the church is in your freedom? Have we noticed the joy and the authority that is built up in your soul from obeying God? I think when you obeyed God last October, it brought you some blessing that brought you to something here in August of 2020. I think when I obeyed God back a few years ago, maybe I'm living in the blessing of it today. I do not know. I just know that it works. That if I can hear and do what he says, it will change my life for the good. And when the storm comes, and they are coming, the storms come. Yeah, and let's not think about that part so much. Let's just enjoy all the good things. But also in the back of my mind, let's acknowledge the fact there is a covering that is too short, and that's there. Isn't it in verse, I didn't get to finish the whole. The bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on. We had some NBA basketball players in Budapest. We couldn't find a hotel that had a bed long enough for the NBA players. We couldn't find a hotel that bed was long enough. The blanket is too short, like on the airplane, you know, you're rolling around or on the bus. It's just too short, can't cover me. That's how people are living. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. It's not helping me. I cannot make it. And we're saying, we understand what you need is Jesus Christ in your life. Hear what he says. Obey him and follow him by grace, and you will find he's enough. It's good. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Maybe somebody listening to this message is saying in their hearts, I need it. I need it. Maybe you haven't even started your Christian life, but now is the time in your heart. Say to Jesus, I need you. You came into the world to save me. You are the truth. You came into the world to change. You came into the world. I need you. You're the life raft. You're the savior. You are the life ring. You're the rope. You're the one I can get. You're the drug I need for life. You are the answer. You are the way, the compass. You are God. I need you, Jesus. Say to Jesus, I need you and save me. And then to the believer, all of us Christians, Lord, help us in a fresh and new way to hear what you say to us and worship you and obey you in our hearts. In your name, amen.